Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is March 28th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to iTunes and subscribing to Motive Vitality or Google Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. I usually start the call off by saying thank you, and I did want to take a moment today to just really tell you guys how much I appreciate the opportunity to serve in this way. I look forward most Thursdays to doing this call. To hear the experiences, to kind of chat about things. It does force me when I'm prepping for the topics to take a look at things that, you know, I get to read and study and learn and everything. And the fact that you guys are here and providing this forum, I really do appreciate it. As some of you that have listened to a lot of them in the past years know, I actually sometimes use this call a little bit as my own personal therapy, to get things off my chest or whatever. And hopefully it's relevant. Hopefully they are topics that you guys can relate to. But I just really love having the chance to talk to other professionals from across the country without the pressure of product or company or those types of things. And so I really am honored and appreciative of the opportunity to be able to do this. So thank you for being here. And for those of you listening, on recording, please join us live. I love to have you as part of the conversation. I know it doesn't always fit into the schedules, but would love to have you anyway. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, and that is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything that we can help you with? Any questions anybody has or any thoughts or comments or anything we can help with?
Me, pick me.
Go for it.
My hand's raised. I also, so the other day, a couple days ago, I was sitting in my office and all of a sudden I start getting all of these LinkedIn messages and alerts, and I was working on something, and so I just kind of wasn't really paying attention to them. And then once I took a break, I went and I looked, and everybody was wishing me a happy work anniversary. Mm. And it has now been 9 years that I have been with Motive Vitality. I can't imagine being anywhere else. And I want to thank Mr. Kelly Thompson for giving me such an amazing opportunity, introduced me to the water treatment industry and the water industry itself. And I kind of reflected a little bit. This year I've joined a couple of committees with the Water Quality Association. I have the opportunity to speak at the WQA conference. And just looking at all the well-wishers and congratulations and everything else, it just seriously warmed my heart. And, we all have those days that it's like, today was a rough day. But when things like that come through and I see how much things have progressed over the past 9 years, it makes me really giddy. So thank you, Kelly, and thank you to everybody that has wished me well and that has been a part of my journey. And I'm looking forward to another 9 or 90 or something like that.
Well, now I feel guilty about that conversation we were going to have this afternoon. No, Jen, I can't imagine Motive Vitality without you. It's unbelievable that it's been 9 years, and I hope that it's the rest of the time too. So this company would definitely, as those of you that have worked closely with both Jen and I know, everybody likes her more than me. So Jen, I so appreciate you bring the voice of reason and maturity to the organization. So thanks a ton. Seriously, congrats on that. So cool. That is kind of cool about the social media. You know, I was watching a thing, speaking, just, I do have a topic. We're going to talk a little bit about canvassing stuff, but this was kind of interesting. I was watching, and listen, we're going to take the politics totally out of this, but I was watching something with Monica Lewinsky the other day. And, you know, she has really taken it upon herself for the, you know, to really become an advocate for social media bullying and, you know, shaming and stuff like that, the stuff that, you know, especially the cyberbullying and all of that stuff. She's become a pretty major advocate, and she knows a little bit about being thrust in the limelight because of some mistakes and becoming a household name that will, you know, the brunt of jokes that will haunt you forever. What she said was, and I thought this was a really interesting perspective, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because I do want to talk about this other topic, but I just on the heels of what you were saying, Jen, with the well wishes, you know, on the LinkedIn, the happy anniversary stuff. I watched this interview with Monica Lewinsky, and what she was saying was that it would have in some ways been easier had there been Facebook or Twitter or some of the social media platforms, because I always looked at that perspective. If you ever want to see, whether you agree with her or not, watch her TED Talk. Just go on and watch. It's just a short little 10-minute thing. It's heart-wrenching. I mean, it's really will give you a different perspective of her as a human being. And but I always thought, man, imagine what would have happened had there been, you know, Twitter or social media or the internet as prevalent as it is now today, you know. And what she said was it probably would have been easier. Yeah, it still would have been tough, but it might have been easier because in addition to all the people making jokes and all the people calling her names and you know, rubbing her face in this mistake, you know, for so just brutally, she would have had supporters too. And she would have had, you know, if there had been just one person that even one or two people who came on and said, hey, you know, stay with it. It's not always going to be this way, you know, or somebody that gave her a virtual hug, it would have made it a lot easier. And that was really, I thought that was a great perspective on it, you know. So with social media, especially, you know, lately, in the last year or so, has gotten such a bad rap, you know, and even to the point where I have tried to cut down using it for anything other than just kind of work or promoting things, except, you know, on very personal pages that are locked in with, you know, private settings with my friends and stuff like that. But I thought that was a good perspective, that there is good and bad. It's just that we tend to focus so much on the bad. And I love, Jen, that you woke up and saw these congratulations from probably a lot of people that you maybe recognize their name or you know, some of them you know personally and some of you may not know. But it still is nice to know that what we do has an impact on people out there and they appreciate it. So. Anyway, just a little. Anybody else have any comments about any of that stuff? Thoughts? Okay, so let's jump into our topic today. Okay, so, and Greg, I know you're on the call, and this will sound familiar to you a little bit because we were talking about this in the office the other day, but I wanted to, you know, so I spent, Greg is one of our new MV Pros. This is one of the people that we have had the honor of helping train for one of our clients in Iowa. And I was out there in Iowa last week and we were going out and we were canvassing and I think the word canvassing, when I describe this to people, I think they think, and we get this question a lot, well, does that mean door to door? Does that mean parking at the end of a road and putting literature in people's doors or going knocking on their doors trying to get appointments? And I suppose that's one definition of canvassing, that's not what I ever did as when I canvassed. What I did when I canvassed was I got to know the entire area. So I picked a small little area, and I started working it. And I had an opportunity to kind of show some of this to Greg last week. And, you know, it's always amazing when you talk about this stuff. I write about it in my book. We talk about it on these MV Pro calls, you know, in the webinars and all of that on how you actually approach total strangers in their businesses or when they're building a home or doing whatever and you know, what you actually say to them. And so Greg and I went out last week. We had some phenomenal conversations with a kitchen and bath design company, you know, a remodeling company. We had a really great conversation with a couple builders, actually. We had a conversation with the homeowner who was kind of building his own home. He was a builder, but kind of doing his own home. There were just some great conversations when we walked in and did that. And so that prompted kind of the follow-up conversation about that. And if you want more detail about the scripts, I don't want to focus necessarily on the scripts of what we talked about when we were canvassing. That is certainly a topic for another call. And in fact, we've talked about that on calls before. So, it, you know, just as a reminder with my history, when I was in sales way back when, the most house leads I ever got in any one year, I mean, we're talking a lead given to me, handed to me to go try and sell. The most leads I ever got in a year was 23 leads for the entire year. And that year I sold 347 units. Okay, so how do you do that? That means that, you know, the vast majority of the sales that I had were creative sales. They came from referrals. They came from relationships I had with builders, with realtors, with plumbers, with homeowners, with, you know, with varying level. I actually created that business. And so that's the context with which I am having this conversation. Now, people go, yeah, how did you do that? You know, how do you make that happen? Because that just sounds absurd. And so I really started thinking about it, and I was talking to Greg, and I think, Corey, you were part of this conversation too. You know, what was the difference? You know, how was it that I made that happen? You know, and I can tell you it was back then that I didn't have a ton of experience in sales, certainly not in this type of sales, certainly not in outside sales. I went out, quite honestly, with the motivation to prove the sales manager wrong. I mean, I was driven by, I mean, I fully expected to have to get a different job within 6 months after I started in the water treatment industry. I had been kind of cast into sales and was given a really horrible territory by the sales manager that I did not get along with. And he was basically setting me up to fail intentionally. And I don't like that. I don't like it when people do that to me. I don't like it when people set me up to fail. If I'm going to fail, I want it to be totally on my own. And so my motivation initially was to go out, and I wanted to make enough money to stay working there longer than he did. I wanted him to be fired or quit before I did. And I know that's kind of strange, but that truly is where my head was back then. I was determined, and because I had this crappy territory, that's where all of this stuff started. Now, in order for that to happen, I had to sit down and I had to look at, okay, what are these sales possibilities from my territory? There were maybe a dozen new homes being built at the time that I went into sales in my entire territory. And so I looked at it and I said, I have to sell a softener and a reverse osmosis to every single one of these new homes. You know, they were all on well water, which means my thought process was every single person who builds that house is going to put a softener in from somebody. The only reason they're not going to put it in from me is because they don't know about me. And so I made it a mission to make sure they knew who I was. I was by their houses. I was leaving literature. I was stopping by. I was talking to the workers, to the builders, to the drywallers, to anybody that I could get in front of. I was out there constantly making a commitment to sell a system to every single homeowner that was building a house. And so that was one of the first things I did. But then I also said, I have to get a when I make a sale out there, I have to get a referral from, in several referrals from every single one of those people. So for me, I looked at it and said, man, the only way I'm going to make a sale is to get in front of people. I have got to be in front of people. So that's when I called. I got a list of our existing customer database. And I started, I mean, nobody was going to buy anything from me if I was just driving around in my car. I had to be in front of people. And so I made a commitment to call people in my territory, you know, that was given to me. The service techs, anytime there was a service call in my territory, I either met them at the house on that service call so I could introduce myself to these customers, or I rode with them on a day to build those relationships with the service techs so that they got to know me. And plus, I learned a ton about installation and, you know, and the plumbing and stuff like that. But I looked at it and I said, I've got to be in front of people. I've got to get in front of people. So anyway, that was kind of the globally what I did. Okay, and the only thing I really want to say about that specific part is when you are talking to people, you cannot expect to walk in and suddenly just get a referral. Hey, I met you. I met the service guy on one of our service calls. I'm Kelly. I'm the territory manager for this area. You should give me your referrals. I had never felt comfortable asking that because, I don't know, that's huge. I mean, if somebody's giving you a referral, they're basically potentially giving you several hundred dollars. And so to go in and ask for somebody to give you money, you know, to me, a referral was money. To me, a referral was money. And so to ask a customer to give me money without them knowing anything about me, without them having any clue what kind of character I had or anything, I just never felt comfortable with that. That never, you know, I had listened to Tom Hopkins and how to master the art of selling anything, and he has this whole big thing about asking for referrals and how to narrow, and it's really good. And it worked. It worked to get a ton of names and addresses and phone numbers of people. And I did it when I first started out there. I did that. And I had these lists of people to call. You know, he kind of breaks it down. You know, you don't just say, so if you know of anybody out there that is interested in water treatment, you know, you have to, so what do you like to do for fun? You know, do you ever see anybody that brings a lot of water in? Does anybody just have a new baby? You know, you break it down, you narrow it down and get those names of people that might be interested. What I found when I was doing that was I would get these tons, these names and numbers of people, and I would call them, and sometimes they would be upset that the person that I had talked to had given them their number, you know, given me their number, because I hadn't earned that referral. So I was good at kind of maneuvering and getting the phone numbers of these strangers, but they weren't really qualified. You know, what I wanted were the referrals. There were less of them that came, but when I got a referral, I wanted it to be solid. You know, I wanted, when Joe gave me a referral to Mary, I wanted Joe to endorse it. I wanted Mary to be expecting my call. You know, so that when I called, she goes, yeah, I was looking forward to your call. That was the referral that I wanted. I wanted that relationship where when the referrals came, they were going to be a sale, you know. So I'm not saying you don't get the other referrals, the cold referrals, I guess you'd call them, but I wanted referrals that were going to turn into a sale, and the only way I was going to get those referrals was if I really wowed the people that I was in front of. I felt like I had to earn those. So I want to share with you the story a little bit, kind of walk you through the process of one of these hard things. And I want those of you on this call or listening to this call to ask yourself, and you don't have to duplicate and do exactly what I did, but are you willing to follow through and do the hard things? Okay. Are you willing to, you know, I made very good money when I was a straight commission sales guy. and all my sales were creative. I controlled my own schedule. I did all of that, but it didn't come easy at first. I had to really build that up. So let me share with you this. What one of the things that happened with Adams Wall Drilling was who I'd worked with. I was out canvassing one day, driving through my territory. There was this house that was pre-drywall, so it was they were working on a little bit of drywall, and there were these two young kids there that that were doing drywall and just cleanup. They were just cleaning up, you know, sweeping and stuff like that. And I walked in and I introduced myself. Now, these two kids, right off the bat, they weren't going to buy anything from me. They were obviously young, and it was obviously not their house. They were workers, but I decided to talk to them. And as it turns out, one of them, you know, what I did is I went in and I said, I'm Kelly, you know, I'm just, you ever see the homeowner out here? You know, we work with the builder. They were giving me a little information. As it turns out, one of the guys was the son of Mark Adams. Mark Adams owned Adams Well Drilling. His name is Brody, super cool guy. But he was the son, and he said, yeah, you know, we used to sell softeners, but the guy that that sold them, he doesn't work here anymore. He moved, and so now we're not really selling them. We're trying to figure out what we're doing. Now, I happen to know that Adams sold at that time. It was a Fleck 5600, which back then, this was before the clack valve was really popular, and this is what – you know, the Fleck 5600 is pretty much what everybody carried. You know, everybody had them. The standard timered or metered. There were still quite a few timered systems out there. It was mechanical, didn't have computers on it or anything. But that's what they had carried and put in, and they were doing it kind of as a convenience item. You know, so he said, well, you know, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with that. And his friend, Jeremy, right at the same time said, oh, that's what happened. It, just this morning, I think that's what blew up in my dad's basement this morning. I said, what do you mean blew up? He said, oh, there's water everywhere, and there was this brown stuff everywhere, and he's at home trying to fix it right now. And I said, do you want me to get in touch with him and go, you know, go take a look at it? So we actually called, had my brick, my Nextel big, those of you remember, those humongous bricks. So I had a cell phone, that cell phone, and he called his dad at home, and sure enough, I went out there right away, and yes, they had this old ancient softener that had literally blown up. I mean, it had tanks that had been cast iron tanks, and they rusted through, and there was water and resin and everything everywhere, and he'd shut it off. So fortunately, this worked out. I was able to get on the phone with service and talk to them. And we were able to get out there to have one of our techs. So I sold him a softener, and we went out there that day, that afternoon, and installed that softener. And I know this can't always happen, but this guy was – it was kind of an emergency situation. But I stayed out there all afternoon helping him mop up the water and clean up the resin. And we – I mean, the service techs went out there and installed this new softener, and we got them all set and everything. And I went back and did the follow-up a couple weeks ago, and the guy was just raving about our service, just raving. And I said, and I asked him, I said, do you ever know, you know, do you know Mark, Brody's dad? And he goes, yeah, I see him sometimes. I said, well, if you happen to mention to him, you know, how this went, then, you know, I'd appreciate you letting him know. And he's, oh, yeah, definitely. Next time I see him, I'll definitely tell him. So in the meantime, I had called Adams and I talked to the ladies in the office, and they told me yes, you know, they had all these softeners out there and they didn't know what they were going to do yet. They were kind of, you know, a little cautious on what all they were telling me. But I said to them, you know, we carry the same thing. We carry that as one of our lines. These things have a 5-year warranty on them. I don't know where you got them from, but I bet we could warranty the parts out on these things. If you call us and they're less than 5 years old, you know, we'll charge them a trip call, you know, a service call. It's going to cost them $150 or whatever to have us come out for service. But if it's parts or something like that, we can probably warranty it. And so she said, yeah, we might do that. Well, it was a couple weeks later that I got the first call. And because I had told Adams, I said, make sure you call my cell phone that way I can make sure the, you know, I can, I'll set it up with the office and it doesn't get confusing with the office or anything like that. So make sure you call my cell. So it was a couple weeks later that I got the first call from, and it was from a customer. Yeah, I bought a system from Adams Well Drilling about, 6 months ago, and it's not working. And they said, you can come out and service it. And so I said, you know, yes, we can do this one of two ways. I can set you up a service. If service comes out there and there's something, you know, with parts or whatever, then, it's going to cost you about $150 to have them come out. But if it's, you know, the parts or something like that, they can get it going for you. Or if you prefer, I can swing out there. I'm not a service guy, but I at least know how to set them and can check the water and see if it's something simple. If it's something simple, then I can get it going for you. I won't charge you anything. Worst case scenario, I get out there, something that I don't recognize, and then we set you up with service. It takes, you know, you have to wait another day. I never had a single person ever, the entire time I worked with Adams Well Drilling, that wanted service to come out first. They always opted for me to swing out there because I could do it within the next day or whatever, you know, next couple days. So I would go out there. Now, a lot of these were evenings. A lot of them were weekends. And, you know, somebody has a six-year-old softener. There was not likely I was going to get another sale out of it. Maybe an RO, and I did sell a couple ROs, in fact, off of it. But mostly what was happening was when these systems had been installed, they had been installed on the default setting. So it was set to regenerate at, you know, say 1,200 gallons, when because of the water analysis and stuff like that, it really needed to regenerate every 500 gallons or every 600 gallons. You know, they were just set wrong. So that's why they were getting staining. The system was working fine. It just needed to be set. The other thing is they had bought this system at the time of the well. So before they even moved into the house, all these people had bought these water softeners as part of a package, as part of the well package, as part of the, and so they had no clue to use less soak. They had no clue to, you know, to how to set the time on it. They had no clue what it was. They thought that it was part of the well. So not only did I test their water, write down their water analysis results, reset their softener, test their water to make sure it was soft, show them how to kick it into manual regeneration. But I also explained the benefits of having a water softener. I never once went in there and bashed this softener that we didn't sell them or carry. And I cannot tell you how many times when I would leave the house, people would go, man, are you sure I don't owe you anything for this? And I'd say, no, not at all. Actually, though, if you want to help, just give Adams Well Drilling a call and thank them for sending me out. Now, it took a couple weeks before I got the first call from Adam saying, hey, you were just out at the Smiths last week, I just wanted to say thanks for doing that. I started getting tons of these referrals. So all of these calls that were, they just, so I, in the next 6 months, I think I sold two or three reverse osmosis systems from going to do that. And I was spending a lot of time going out and doing these checkup calls on these one-year, two-year-old softeners that just weren't turning. And some of them were out of my territory. Most of them were evening calls. And I can tell you, people will ask me sometimes, what's the hardest part of your job? And I would say it would, you know, my daughter would climb on my lap and, Daddy, will you tuck me in tonight? I can't, honey. I have to go back to work, because some of these appointments were at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and they were when it was that cold, rainy, sleety stuff, you know, that you got to get back in the car and you got to drive out there and you know it's not going to be a sale. And so, you know, those were the times that I wanted the 9-to-5 job. Those were the times that I was sitting there going, what am I doing? What, I'm not a professional visitor. Is this going to turn into anything? So we're almost out of time on the call, but I want to tell you what happened. After about 5 or 6 months of doing this, I got a call from a guy named Adriano Pacheco, and nice French guy. That was a joke. So, but he called me up and said, Kelly, Mark Adams says you're my guy. I need a water treatment system. I'm building a house out on 7 Mile. So I drove out there to this house on 7 Mile, Now, by the way, I had never spoken to Mark Adams, the owner. I had spoken to his wife. I had spoken to his to one of his son's wives, the ladies in the office. I'd spoken to a couple of the Adams service techs. I'd never spoken to Mark Adams himself. But I got this referral from Mark Adams. I went out to this house, went through the locked gate, went in this mansion. This guy's walk-in closet was bigger than my master bedroom, okay? He had literally two elevators, one on each side of this house, humongous mansion. And we put the water treatment system in that house. That house, and then the following month, the one right next to it, which was exactly the same. Or about the same square footage and stuff like that. He built these two gigantic houses, and I got it. As it turns out, he was a builder, a high-end builder. As it turns out, something I didn't know at the time was that one of these checkup calls that I had gone out and done was Adriano's mom and dad, who had just built a nice but a modest house, but I had spent an hour and a half or so going through explaining the system to them and not trying to sell them something new. And so it turned out. Now, here's the end result, because we're almost out of time on this. The end result is that after that first year in sales, I never had a year where I sold less than 300 units. Okay, about 40 to 50% of my sales came from referrals from Adams Well Drilling, because that first 6 months of building that, of going out there, of doing that hard stuff, of spending that time, of really putting in that effort, okay, after I had done that and proven that I just wasn't doing it for the quick sale, the floodgates opened. I inherited all of their builders, all of their contractors, every well they did, every single thing that Adams Well Drilling did for the next 4 years, I got the sale. And because they were so good at customer service, they are, even to this day, they're just the nicest, coolest, most awesome people out there. I love these guys. But I got all of their stuff. Every bit of it came to me. And so if I took a vacation, this was my base salary. Even though I was a straight commission sales guy, this became my base salary. So in addition, I still had other sales that I had to make and other things I had to do. But I knew that if I didn't have anything else, I was going to get those referrals coming in from Adams. And so anyway, moral of the story, are you willing to do what it takes to build that, to get out there, or are you just waiting for that house lead or that quick sale? Talking to somebody and asking for a referral one time is not going to do it for you. You've got to be willing to go out there and do the hard stuff if you're going to reap the benefits. You cannot get jealous of those people that have success without recognizing the effort it took to make that success happen, to build it. Okay. Any final comments? I'm at 9:03 here, so any final comments or thoughts on this? Well, with that, we didn't really have a big discussion on this. But I do appreciate those of you that are on here, and I hope that you got something from it. If you have any questions or you want more detail on any of this stuff, please reach out to me and give me a call. And otherwise, I will talk to you guys next week. If not before, be safe, everybody.